Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Your feet and turn with me to the book of Luke, Luke's Gospel. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. This account is in 3 out of 4 Gospels that we're going to read what Jesus said here. But I like how Luke recorded it. And so we're going to read Luke's version of it, Luke 9, 23. I'm going to read to you from the New King James Version of the Bible. And we're going to read the words of Jesus here together. And then we'll pray, and then I'll get into what I feel like the Lord has put on my heart to share with you this morning. So if you have it there in your Bible, we're going to be in Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, in verse 3. And it reads like this. Then he said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily." I want you to note that word daily. "And follow me." I didn't have this planned, but I want to read the rest of this passage. "For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But truly I tell you, there are some standing here that shall not taste death until they see the kingdom of God." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we give you glory and honor here in this place. I pray that you would anoint my words. I rely upon you, Holy Spirit. I need you to speak through me. Give me utterance that would not just be of human words and wisdom, but would come with divine revelation and authority to speak to your church, which you want for us to know today. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You can be seated today. I want to talk with you for a few moments today. I'm not going to take a lot of your time. We scheduled and planned for there to be time for the youth to be able to give their testimonies and for the financial report to be given. So don't worry, I'm not about to launch into an hour-long discourse with you on this. I'm going to try to keep it concise as much as I possibly can. But I do ask for just a few moments of your time to talk about being daily devoted to God. It's something that I want to take us on a journey over the next couple weeks. I'm not sure how long exactly. I don't have it all mapped out. I do know next week what God wants me to talk about. But we're going to take some time as a church and talk about being daily devoted. Because I believe that as believers in Jesus Christ, that we should live our lives in a way of every waking moment, seeking and asking and committing time and energy to, how can I be devoted to God? How can I give my life for him? How can I surrender everything that I am? Because when I read this passage in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, I called your attention to the word daily because I think it's very interesting that this statement is recorded in Matthew and this statement is recorded in Mark, but they don't say daily. They just say, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. But for some reason, when Luke was interviewing eyewitness accounts, because that's how the book of Luke came about. Matthew, he experienced it. Mark was not an eyewitness account. John was, but when Luke was interviewing eyewitness accounts, somebody said, "I remember this one time Jesus said this statement, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow after me." And Luke wrote that down and he recorded it. That doesn't make Matthew or Mark inaccurate. It just means that somebody, that word daily, stuck out to them and it got seared in their mind and they remembered that Jesus said, "I don't just want you to make this decision one time. I want you to make this decision on a daily basis to deny what you want, to put your desires on the back burners and say no to your flesh and pick up your cross on a daily basis and follow Jesus in every single waking moment." The words of our Savior, he tells us that this decision is a daily decision. And that says to me this, that Christianity is about total surrender. Yeah. Total surrender. He's either Lord of all or not at all. There is no compartmentalizing our spirituality. There are no partitions or lines that get drawn in our heart to say, well, I will give God 10 o'clock to maybe 11:30 on Sunday mornings. No, he is either Lord of everything that we have. I just read to you that budget and there were itemized things in that budget as there should be. He gets every line, every space, everything. God, you get my finances. God, you get my energy. God, you get my personality. God, you get my career. God, you have my marriage. God, my children are in your hands. God, every waking moment that I have, I seek to live it devoted to you and to the advancement of your kingdom. So this is not meant to be intermittent. It's meant to be continual, that we make this decision. I remember when I was growing up, my cousin and I, who are the same age, I'm a few months older than him, but we were born in the same year in 1991, and we formed a band. Okay, now I use the term band very loosely. Okay, that's just the best word I can get so that you know what we were going for. Okay, that's not really what we hit. That's just what we were striving for, and so we did what all good bands do, and we hired a manager, my younger brother Stuart, who was 9 at the time. And so Stu told us, boys don't worry about anything. You have to know my brother. He's just an incredible character. He's like, y'all don't worry about anything. As your manager, I got you. So I go to our manager one day and I'm like, hey, there's this kid that lives across the street from Chase, our cousin, and he plays the saxophone. I'd like him to join the band. Like, mind you, it's my cousin and I barely play guitar, and he barely plays the drums, okay? And we would play Blessed Be the Name of the Lord over and over again because it was 4 chords, and that's all we knew. And so Stu's like, well, let's hold a tryout for the band. And so we go to Nick across the street, and we're like, Nick, would you like to try out for our band? And this dude is jazzed to play the saxophone in our band. That's what he played, the saxophone. And so we set up a time and an appointment, which was really just, hey, come on over to the house and play your saxophone for us. So I remember we made him wait in the hallway for like 10 minutes while my cousin and Stu and I get situated, and we all have notebooks and we're just sitting there like this. And I remember my brother Stu, he's just like, okay, Nick, you can come in now. And Nick marches in there and gets out his saxophone and plays the worst rendition of whatever he played. I don't remember what it was. I just remember he wasn't blessed with, I mean, he was 10 years old. You know, I mean, how good could he possibly be? And I remember we sat there, and before the meeting, Stu had told Chase and I, was like, I'm the manager. Y'all don't say anything. So we're just sitting there. And I remember this kid finishes, and I could tell he was nervous, which is so dumb thinking about it now. Why would he be nervous to play for these goobers sitting across from him? And I remember it finished. And so Stuart told us not to say anything. He was our manager, so we didn't. We just sat there. And Stu waited for like 30, 45 seconds and just staring at this kid. And finally, I'll never forget the words he said. Don't call us. We'll call you. And just stared at him. And finally, this kid packs up a saxophone and just like leaves. And we got in so much trouble because his mom found out that we'd broken his heart and came and talked to my aunt who lived there. And we got in so much trouble. But I'll never forget, don't call us, we'll call you. And that story came to my mind when I was preparing for this because I thought, you know, unfortunately, that's how many of us treat God. Yeah. Don't call us, God. We'll call you. Yeah. When I need you, I'll come running to you and expect you to save me. Will he do it? Yeah, he will, because he's gracious, because he's good. But you know what he really wants? You. Yeah. All of you. Yeah. Not just the worst parts of your life, not just the best parts of your life. He wants everything in between. God sees everything. God knows everything. And God wants to be involved in everything. That's why Jesus became flesh and he dwelt among us and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, is we get access to Jesus Christ, which grants us access to God. And Jesus is the baptizer and the Holy Ghost. And so we get the third person of the Trinity living inside of us as we devote ourselves fully to living with him and for him. I believe that as followers of Christ, we should make it our mission to be devoted to God in every single aspect of our God. No compartments, no partitions, no lines drawn. He is God. And you know what that does? When I admit he's God, that puts me at his disposal, not him at my disposal. Now, God will work on your behalf. God will answer your prayers. God will move. But I truly believe that God responds to hearts that say, I am fully yours. Yeah. Jesus made it abundantly clear that this is not a one-time decision, but a daily decision. I want to just break down line by line what he said. If you can put Luke 9:23 back up there for me. Sorry, we're going to get to that. I'm really excited about that slide. Luke 9:23. This is the beautiful thing about making your own slides. You can do whatever you want. No one can tell you you can't put golden retrievers on your slides. Okay? Luke 9:23. Then he said to them all, if anyone, let's just stop right there. And he said to them all, if anyone. Yeah. This is such a beautiful invitation. It's not you skip over you, no, yes, no, yes. He said to everybody present, if anybody wants to come after me. This is an open invitation to anybody. There's no stipulations. There's no barriers that would say, no, you were born in the wrong time period. No, you were born in the wrong country. No, you were born the wrong gender. You were born the wrong race. No. God shows no partiality according to Romans chapter 2. And Jesus made this invitation. If anybody wants to come after me, I'm not going to judge you based on your past character or your gender. Now, there are only two genders. Let me make that abundantly clear. I'm not preaching that there's all other kinds of gender. I'm saying it doesn't just have to be male and it doesn't just have to be female. You don't have to be born rich or born poor. You don't have to be born American or be born Israeli. You can be anyone. And Jesus says, you can come after me. If you will submit to the list of things, the prerequisites that I'm about to give you for following after me, you can come. And it's not based upon who you have been, because I will make you who you're supposed to be if you will decide to devote your life fully to me. And so I feel like there's some people, maybe you're here today and you're going, okay, I'm here because somebody drugged me here, or I'm here because I feel like it's the right thing to do. But maybe you're feeling like Marissa was that night at camp, which is saying, I don't really feel worthy. It's amazing to me that people can go the entirety of their life being a Christian and never fully feel qualified to be a Christian. Yeah. And I'm not saying that we should have this sense of superiority or we should be prideful, but I want you to know that God is open to you coming to him. Yeah. He's not up there going, no. I saw what you did last night. Yeah. I remember what you did when you were 14. Yeah. I remember what you just said about me 2 days ago when you got mad. No, he said, if anybody wants to come after me, this is not universalism. This is the way to salvation. Yeah. Through the only way, Jesus Christ. Yeah. So he says, if anyone desires. That's the next word that sticks out to me in this phrase that Jesus makes, is if anyone desires. I think the problem that so many people encounter is there's a lack of desire for the things of God. The reason people don't live lives of devotion is there's just not an inner feeling, emotion, passion to devote themselves to God. Why? Because we spend too much time giving ourselves to fleshly desires, which war against spiritual desires, and whatever you feed will eventually get stronger and will grow. And so the good news that I want to give to you today is desires can be changed. Desires can be transformed. You may be desiring the wrong things today, but if you will start choosing the right things, then you will eventually find yourself desiring the right things. I love what I heard somebody say one time about specifically the Bible, but I believe that it applies to every spiritual truth and aspect in our life, is that discipline produces desire, and desire brings about delight. That's good. So think about that. You may say, well, I don't really desire to read the Bible every day. I don't really desire to pray every day. And you know what I would say? Me too. But you know what I've learned? As I do those things as a discipline, I will eventually learn to desire them. And as I do them out of desire, I find great delight in being with God. And so you may say, I don't really desire to come after Jesus. You're talking about this and it just doesn't really, that's not what I'm out for. That's not what I long for. I know that I should be a good person, but I don't desire to be devoted to God all of the time and him to have every penny and him to have every second and him to have everything. That seems so far-fetched. You know, people read passages like when Paul says, pray without ceasing, and immediately we want to find all the reasons why that's not possible instead of trying to find all the ways that it could be possible, right? And so as you do these things out of discipline, that will change your desires. And then out of your desires, you begin to delight in what God's calling you to do. So here's what you do. If you want to desire the right thing, choose the right thing, and then keep doing the right thing. And eventually those desires will begin to change. This works naturally and it works spiritually. In this parallel world that God has given us, that we are both living in the natural and we are spiritual beings, as we apply these principles, they work both in the natural and in the spiritual. And so he says, if anyone desires to come after me, that's the next phrase, come after me. Christianity is not rooted in the desire for God to bless you. Contrary to any prior teaching that you've been taught. Christianity is rooted in the acceptance of Jesus and the forsaking of all to follow him. When Jesus called his first disciples, all he said was, follow me. Yeah. Follow me. Yeah. He didn't say, I'll bless you financially. He didn't say, I'll make sure you never get sick. Yeah. He didn't say, you will never, ever have problems again. Yeah. He just said, come after me. Yeah. In fact, this invitation to everyone says, if anyone desires to come after me, the next step is self-denial. And so it's not rooted in this desire for God to bless you. I'm not saying God won't bless you, because here's the deal. God is God, and at the center of his being is goodness. He can be nothing but good. That's all he knows how to be, and he cannot be contrary to the nature that he is. So God will be good. I'm not saying you won't receive blessings. What I'm saying is we have to make sure that when we come to Christ, we're not coming for a means of receiving monetary blessing, physical blessing, emotional blessing, because that's not what was promised. Eternal life is what was promised. In this world, you will have tribulation, Jesus said. But be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. And so following and coming after Jesus is not rooted in the desire for him to bless you, but in the acceptance of his grace, his mercy, and saying, I will commit myself to you. Let him first, he says, deny himself. I think it's interesting, if we still have that, let him deny himself. I think it's very interesting that the first step is not following, but it's self-denial. Because you can never truly get to a place where you are following God in sincerity until you have died to what you want. Amen. Until you have truly said, my desires, my passions, my dreams are put to the side, not so that you can help me fulfill them, but so they can be completely gone and they can be traded for your desires. Yeah. For the dreams you have for me, for the destiny that you created for me to walk in. And so self-denial is not just for the uber spiritual. Yeah. I think that's what we think. Oh, so, man, the pastors, they're so disciplined and they're so full of self-denial. No, Jesus said if anyone, not the apostle and the prophet and the evangelist and the pastor and the teacher. No. Not just the missionary. No, not just the person that is the youth pastor or the children's pastor or the lead pastor. No, if anyone desires to come after me, he has to come through the doorway of self-denial. It's the primary doctrine of Jesus's onboarding program. Jesus says, if you want to onboard to Christianity, step one, deny yourself. And if you will not come by that way, then you're not truly living in Christianity. Yeah. That word deny means to refuse. So think about it this way. Jesus is saying, if anyone desires to come after me, let him refuse to have charge over himself anymore and transfer that lordship to Jesus Christ. It's not about me, my desires, my wishes. It's about giving over to him. Next, he says, take up his cross daily. The cross was a symbol of suffering. And that's the symbol that Jesus asked us to take up. He's not talking about taking up a physical cross. Could you imagine tomorrow morning if all of us got ready to go to work and we strapped two beams of wood on our back and tried to get in our car and drive to work? It's a lot funnier of a picture than what you guys are apparently picturing. Like, I'm seeing some of you guys with a cross on your back going to work tomorrow. I'm talking like full size, like nails driven into it. You put blood on it to make it look real authentic. Like carrying this thing around at RTI tomorrow or at FTC tomorrow. He's not talking about a physical cross. He's talking about a symbol of suffering. Yeah. The willingness to die if necessary for the gospel's sake. Jesus doesn't teach us that we have to fear suffering, but that we should embrace suffering. Isn't it amazing that so many Christians spend their whole life running away from suffering, not realizing that it could be suffering that leads to the glorification that Jesus wants to bring about in your life? You don't have to fear suffering or run from suffering. You know that if God allows it, he will use it in my life to create character, to produce authority, to bring an anointing that God wants to use to break yokes. He will use everything in your life. And Jesus says, embrace that so that you can live in total victory. The next thing is follow me. I want to say today that if Jesus is not the guiding force in your life, then who's actually in charge? Follow me. If you're just expecting God to follow you and come behind and clean up your messes and bless your stupidity, then that's just not going to work or cut it. That's not what Jesus offered. He said, follow me. That means let me get in front and you walk behind me. You only go where I go. You do what I tell you to do. That makes him in charge. He's not a good luck charm. He's Lord. And we can't treat him like, God, I'm a Christian, so I want you to bless what I do. No, I'm a Christian, so therefore, I want to do whatever you do because I know that that will be blessed. Yeah. So we're talking about being daily devoted. What does that word devoted mean? You can go to that slide with the awesome dog. So we had golden retrievers growing up. And actually, this dog right here on the right looks just like my dog. I had a dog named Lady. She was the female. And then my brother had a dog named Buddy. And he was the male. We were very creative with the naming of the... And I didn't tell you the name of our band earlier. The name of our band was The Inner Circle. And we're talking about getting back together. I don't know. It was kind of a rough breakup. When things didn't work out with Nick, we just never really took off. So, but we're praying about it. We're exploring. We're going to hire a manager and see how that works. But anyways, this is what my dog Lady looked like. And when I thought about the word devoted, I thought about golden retrievers. I mean, how great is that guy in the hat? Yeah. Incredible. I just want to hang out with that dog. I'm not a dog person. I'm a golden retriever person. That's just, I love golden retrievers. So if you're thinking about a pastor's appreciation gift, we accept golden retrievers. I'm just kidding. Devoted. Loyal. This is what we're supposed to be every single day for God, with God. Loyal, faithful, true, steadfast, constant, committed, dedicated, devout, fond, loving, admiring, affectionate, caring, attentive, warm, ardent. That's what we're called. And I think the problem is so many times we look at that and we go, I could never be all of that. Here's how devotion works. Is you start with the first one and then you add to it. Yeah. Add to your faith, virtue, and to your virtue, perseverance, and to perseverance, hope, and to hope. All of these things begin to grow upon one another. And so you start with saying, God, I this week want to be loyal to you. Or I want to be faithful to you. Or I want to be steadfast. I love what it says in Acts chapter 2 verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in breaking bread and in prayer. And they went from house to house worshiping with one another and eating with one another. And God blessed all of them if they had need. And the kingdom continued to abound and advance. But it started with they were steadfast in what? The teaching that the apostles gave to them. And I believe that as we live steadfast lives, that opens an invitation for God to come in and do what we couldn't do if we would not live steadfast, obedient, faithful lives. It makes me think about Hebrews 11, chapter 6. This is what the anonymous writer of this letter would say. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. How do they seek him? Diligently. That made me start to think about a pet peeve that I have. I have this pet peeve when I hear churches use the catchphrase, and maybe you've heard this before, maybe you haven't, maybe this will be new to you, maybe it's something you've heard. And if you've attended a church that says this, I'm not trying to offend anybody. But there's this catchphrase that I hear people say, you can belong before you believe. And I absolutely hate that statement. I think it's so stupid. I really do. You can belong before, belong to what? Your social club? Belong to what? Maybe a building and a group of people, but not to the church of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you're not welcome here.
Right.
I'm just saying you ain't a part of the family until you come through the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ. And Hebrews tells us that a prerequisite for coming to God is belief.
Yeah.
For if anyone is going to come to him, he must first believe.
Yeah.
Not come in the doors of the church. No, come to God.
Yeah.
If you want to belong, you want to be a part of the family, you need to start believing. And that belief in Jesus Christ will bring a transformation to where you're actually a part, blood-bought part of the family of God. And now you belong because you have believed. So belief is literally a biblical prerequisite for coming to God.
Yeah.
But when we make the gospel to be an inclusive social club, it feeds people who are weak in their belief, and so therefore they become weak in their commitment to God.
That's right.
And that's why we have a generation of Christians who are not daily devoted.
Yeah.
Because they've been taught garbage theology that says they can belong before they believe.
Yeah.
Not realizing that the only way to get saved, according to Paul in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, by grace through faith.
Yeah.
What is faith? It's the Greek word pistis, which literally just means belief,
yeah.
Assurance.
Yeah.
Confidence, trust. When you transfer your confidence from self or from government or from someone else to Jesus Christ, you immediately belong in the family.
Yeah.
That's the only requirement for salvation, is by accepting God's grace and putting your faith in him.
Yeah.
And so when people become weak in their belief, they become weak in their commitment. Do you realize that our spiritual forefathers, the 12 apostles, 11 out of 12 are historically believed to have been martyred for the gospel of Jesus Christ? The only one that historically is not believed to have been martyred was John the apostle, who was exiled to the Isle of Patmos because they tried to burn him in oil and he would not burn. So they tried to martyr him and couldn't.
Yeah.
11 out of the 12 died for the faith.
Yeah.
John chapter 8, verse 24, Jesus says, this is why I said that you will die in your sins. That's a great statement, isn't it, for Jesus to make? He said, for unless you believe that I am who I claim to be, unless you believe that I am who I claim to be, you will die in your sins.
Wow.
So people have sold people short by telling them they can belong before they can believe, because if they don't believe, they'll die in their sins.
Yeah.
We have to tell people the truth,
yeah.
That being devoted to God starts with coming to God, and coming to God starts with believing that God is who he says he is. And so we live in a culture that values acceptance over truth, and that's a very dangerous place to be. So what ends up happening is people pretend to serve God without ever truly devoting themselves to him. They become good church people.
Yeah.
Maybe that's where you are today. You're just a good church person. So Hebrews says that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, not those who sparingly seek him, not those who conveniently seek him, but those who seek him with an attitude of diligence. I wonder if you took a survey of your life, what are you diligently seeking on a daily basis? What do you do every single day? Day without fail. Work, eat, scroll on your cell phone, talk to family and friends. I truly believe that what matters most to you will get most of your attention. So you could say, my life is devoted to God. Why? Because I made a decision to follow God. Remember what Jesus said? If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, not 40 years ago when you walked the altar because somebody yelled at you long enough to make you feel bad for what you were doing and you were scared to go to hell. And so you asked someone to walk up there with you and you prayed this shaky sinner's prayer. And, oh, glory to God, I'm going to heaven one day, but I'll live like hell while I'm here. That's not what Jesus is saying.
Right.
He said, if you're going to come after me, you have to make a daily decision. And we are called to seek him diligently, fervently, with passion.
Yeah.
And he's not saying, I'm going to disown you if you don't. What we don't realize is life is so much better when we do. It gives us guidance. It keeps us in hope. It keeps us in his peace. It keeps us in his blessing. It keeps us in his provision. And I'm not just talking about in a physical way. I'm talking about your soul is truly sustained by connecting with God on a regular basis. Because what matters most to you will get most of your attention. And I don't mean to be belittling today, but I do want to call something and say something that would be true. You know, a moment ago, I showed you a pie chart of the percentage of where our funds go as a church. What if a pie chart was made of our time and displayed on the screen for everybody in the church to see? I would shiver to know what my scroll time would be divided as among that. I really would. I'm trying to get better about that. I'm bearing my soul with you. Or to golf. Or to food. I give a lot of time and thought to food. Like if a pie chart was made of my mind, food would definitely have like 40% of it.
Yeah.
God would have the other 60. It's like 60-40 food, God. That's a pretty good breakdown. Madison gets like 0.9%.
Whoa.
Just kidding, babe. I'm just kidding. But if there was a pie chart made of your time and your thought process, what would it look like? Would God, in taking denying yourself, taking up your cross and following him, would it even be on the chart? Much less have ample representation. That's what being daily devoted looks like. Not a one-time decision, but a daily devotion. You know, you can be devoted to God in your work. You can be devoted to God in your hobbies.
Yeah.
You can be devoted to God in your fellowship with friends and families. But you know what I've learned? That takes intentionality. It doesn't just happen.
Yeah.
You don't just wake up devoted to God. It's that discipline that brings about desire, which produces delight, that keeps us. And when we lose the delight, where do we go? We have to start all the way back over at discipline.
Yeah.
And build it back in our life. So I want to ask you, and you be honest with yourself, where are you diligently seeking God? Where in your time? Where in your thoughts? Where in your energy? Are you diligently saying, I want to seek you because I believe that you truly are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you? You said, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, what did Jesus say? But seek ye first, primary. Before anything else, seek first. I was just listening to a podcast this week, and there's a Greek expert by the name of Rick Renner. And if you've ever heard of his, I think it's called Hidden Gems, Sparkling Gems, something, I don't know. It's not the Righteous Gemstones. I just want to see who knew what that was. Okay, there I heard one chuckle. I've never watched that. I just want to make a disclaimer. I just was throwing that out there. Anyways, he wrote a great devotional something about gems. Is it Sparkling Gems? Sparkling Gems. Anyways, Rick Renner, he was talking about this in this podcast that I was watching this week, where he said that he made a decision with the Lord years ago that if he did not read the word that day, he would not eat that day. Now, that's a personal conviction. I'm not telling you should go start that. But he said he starts every single morning, as I do as well, with the reading of God's word. Because the word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. And next week, that's what we're going to talk about, is what does it look like to have a daily devotion? Because I believe that daily devotion, like quiet time, personal worship, whatever you call it, I don't know what you grew up calling it. We called it quiet time growing up. But I believe that that devotion time breeds devotion for the rest of the day to God. It's getting things in order. And so next week we're going to get extremely practical. I'm going to show you how to have a devotion and what the benefits of having devotion are, and hopefully how to build a routine in your life that will keep you close to God, submitted to Him in every single moment. The definition of devoted, loyal, faithful, true, ardent, all of those things, it will help produce that inside of you. That discipline that brings about desire, which produces delight. That's what I believe devotion is. That's what we're going to talk about next week. But I want to challenge you with this week. What are you seeking diligently? And if it's not God, make a change.
Yeah.
Make a change. Don't just seek the rewards He gives. Listen, it says He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek His rewards.
Yeah.
But that's what most people do. We seek God for the rewards.
Yeah.
But I love what it says in Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in it he meditates both day and night. He shall be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of living water, who brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. But note, the person that the psalmist is talking about is not seeking the second half. They're delighting in the law of the Lord and meditating in the law, not in the fruit that doesn't wither, or the leaf that doesn't wither, the fruit or the prospering. No, in the law of the Lord. And so next week we're going to talk about that together, and hopefully we're going to grow. Listen, maybe you say, I already have a great devotion time with God. Good, it can get even better.
That's right.
It can get even stronger. It can get even more full of the presence of God and beneficial to you and to your family. And you're not going to be the only one to reap benefits of being daily devoted to God. Others are. People are going to see, you're going to see miracles take place. You're going to have words to give to people. You're going to be more full and ready. Madison and I were just talking when we got here this morning, and you can go ahead and stand to your feet with me today. I don't know if you've been in this place before, but it's a very sad place to be, where somebody needs prayer, or they need encouragement. They need the presence of God in their life, and you're not ready. You're not ready to pray for them. Maybe you can pray and say, God bless them, God be with them, God help their situation. Or you can just repeat back to them what they told you the problem was. But I'm talking about truly having a deposit from heaven where you can pray and you know I'm praying the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man that will avail much. I know that I'm calling on the God of heaven, and I know that He will answer. And I know that there's nothing hindering my prayers. Do you realize, and we'll talk about this as we get into talking about prayer, there are literally things that can put a ceiling between you and God that will hinder your prayers from getting to Him. But when you're living a life of daily devotion, there is nothing that is hindering you talking to God and Him hearing you and Him answering you. So let's pray together today. Heavenly Father, we choose to do what Jesus told us and taught us to do. We have a desire. And I just pray for that today, that new desire would be birthed inside of hearts. As people make the disciplined decision to say, you know what? I want to change my desires. I have desired other things more than Him. I've desired money, pleasure, entertainment. I have more desire to wake up and turn on the TV or scroll my phone than I do to get into the Word. I pray that today, not out of a magical response, but out of the discipline of the hearts to respond to what Jesus said, saying, okay, you said anyone, I'm anyone, and I'm going to desire you. I'm going to come after you. I'm going to deny myself. I'm going to take up my cross. I'm going to endure suffering and hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to follow you no matter where you lead or what you want me to do, because that's what it means to be daily devoted. So I give myself completely to you. Maybe you just need to make a fresh commitment today to say, God, I give myself to you. My thoughts are yours. My conversations are yours. My time, my efforts, my career, my money, my children, they're yours. And let me just remind you today, you have no need to worry, fret, or fear.
Yeah.
It's safe in His hands. I remember when I was a young father. I'm still a young father, praise God. But when I was first a father, I remember I was having a prayer time, and I was praying, and I was just committing things to God. God, I give You my ministry. God, I give You my heart. God, I give You my money. God, I give You my possessions. I mean, I was just laying everything before the Lord. And I got to my children, and I could not say it, because I literally had a fear that if I gave it to Him, He would take it. I was afraid that if I said, God, my children are in Your hands, that I was going to lose my children to some kind of catastrophe. Now, that's completely irrational, right? Completely irrational. But it was real in that moment.
Yeah.
I had a true fear, a true worry, that if I gave God my children, they were going to die a premature death. And I could not say it. So you know what I finally did? I just said it. And I began to break and cry. You know why? Because I realized they were safer then than they were when I was holding on to them. They were in His hands. It was the greatest place that they could possibly be. And He's not a mean God. He's not vindictive in a way of He will do things without cause. He's just, He's righteous, He's holy, He can do whatever He wants. But we must hold that in tension with the fact that He's loving, and He's kind, and He's good, and He's merciful. And my children are safe in the hands of God. Your money is safe in the hands of God. Your health is safe in the hands of God. Trust Him with anything and with everything. So God, we devote ourselves to You. And that means giving everything in total surrender. You're Lord of all. And we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. In a moment, I'm going to speak a blessing over you. But I want to say myself, I think Madison can stay. Maybe there's another. There's someone scheduled, I'm sure, for ministry time. If you need prayer for anything, we would love to pray with you today. There's nothing too small. There's nothing too great. There's nothing that you come up here and we're going to go, why did you come up here for that? Just go do this. We will pray with you about anything. There's nothing we're going to go, oh my goodness, no, God can't do that. Yes, God can do anything. And so we want to pray with you today if you have need of prayer. I believe that it's an important part of coming together as the body of Christ. If you have a need, if you have a worry, if you have something you're struggling with, do not leave here today without coming and receiving prayer. It's not us. It's who we're praying to.
Right.
He can do all things. He loves you. You can trust Him with it. So may the Lord bless you and keep you, cause His face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up His countenance upon you, may He keep you in His peace, may He smile upon you, may He put His name upon you, and may you live completely devoted, faithful, true, committed, loyal, ardent, passionate for God in everything that you do. And I pray this over you in Jesus' name. Amen.